This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Little station note, Steve Yzerman will speak today at 2 o'clock, the press conference carried live right here on 97.1 The Ticket. I'm sure someone will ask about the Larkin comments. We'll get an update on the Yzer plan and where things are at. Brad Holmes will join us about 15 minutes. Talk to the Lions general manager post-draft. Could be a huge part of this hour's
GM day.
What we can get from GMs, yeah. As we sit here after the draft, I think you posed this very well. The rosters are largely set.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a question about whether we feel more or less confident in this team, essentially as the offseason's done.
Yeah. I mean, from where we sat last year, if you can go back and not think about the 15-2, but just where this roster was after the draft, Terrion Arnold, Ennis Rakestraw, and company were drafted. And there can, Brad Holmes has said, roster acquisition doesn't have to end with the draft, but in large part, free agency, draft, those are the major offseason acquisitions. And so can you look at this roster, as we said here at the end of April, compared it to the roster at the end of April last year, do you feel more or less confident that they are a team that could end the season as Super Bowl champs? Are they a better team right now on paper than they were last year?
A year ago, we felt very good that they were going to win the Super Bowl. For me to feel better than I did a year ago, I would have had to see more from this offseason. I'm not mad at the offseason. I think in a lot of ways they filled the gaps they needed to. Aleem McNeil's hurt. You get Tyleek Williams. You lose Carlton Davis. You add DJ Reed at corner. Right? They've replaced a lot of the questions we may have, with the exception being the obvious pass rusher.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't feel more confident than I did a year ago.
Do you think Terrion Arnold will be better in year two than year one?
I certainly hope so.
Do you think Brian Branch will continue to develop and be better in year three than year two?
Love watching him play football.
Ennis Rakestraw, do you think he'll actually contribute?
Sneaky, yeah, could.
Okay. DJ Reed, you already talked about him.
Mm-hmm. But that's a wash. You're replacing Carlton Davis.
Aiden Hutchinson, do you think it'll be a better year this year than it was last year?
If he plays every game, he will create pass rush. But even when he was healthy the last several seasons, they have not had anybody else produce from the edge spot.
But would you agree that he was better last year than he was the year before?
Incomplete. Yes, he started better.
Right. Okay. So, yeah. But I think you could, if you connect the dots, and
sure.
I know some
of
his projection.
Yeah. Yeah. He was
and
on
this
a tear.
Defense, if you project this defense, now we don't know who's going to be hurt. It's going to happen.
Someone's
going to
get hurt.
Yes. There's no question somebody's going to get hurt. Do we think that there are going to be massive injuries on one side of the ball, or will it be more like other NFL teams and other NFL seasons that the Lions have had where it's not just affecting one side of the ball?
When the season ended, I thought the Lions would be a contender for the Super Bowl and still feel that way. I don't think they cemented themselves as the favorite, which is what would make me feel more confident. Is that fair? I'm not telling you they can't win the Super Bowl. I very much think they're going to be in the thick of this. They'll be healthy. They'll be in there. But you know who else at least broke even? The Philadelphia Eagles, mm-hmm. who won 15 of their last 16 games, the only loss coming when Jalen Hurts got injured. And they went in the postseason and they did the unthinkable, John. They won 3 playoff games, double-digit discoing. So that team still exists, and do I think the Lions did enough this offseason to leapfrog them to make me feel more confident? No, I think they're going to be in the thick of it with a team like them.
Well,
throw in the Commanders,
okay,
who are beefing up their offensive line, who did beat the Lions in the playoffs. No, I don't feel better. I feel the same.
Okay, so I think we're talking about two different questions here. Did they do enough to compete with the Eagles? With
sure.
health and, okay. But that's a different question.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, do you think this roster, as we sit at the end of April, is better now than it was a year ago? Because I think you know more about Jameson Williams now than you
sure.
did a year ago.
That's a fair point.
And you have Tim Patrick in year two of this offense, Tesla, who I think is going to be a contributor. I don't know how much early on, but I think as the season goes on, they trust him more. He does more. The offensive line, Mahogany, Ratledge at guard, with Graham as the backup to all three of those. You have more depth on that offensive line. There's some unknowns, and I'm not going to sit here and say that Ratledge or...
Zeitler or Ratledge? A proven Pro Bowl veteran guard who they added a year ago,
he wasn't
or an
a Pro Bowl player last year.
Rookie. He's a damn good player last season.
Yeah, he was damn good. Yeah,
I don't think a rookie's going to be better than him.
It might be better than Graham Glasgow.
Is Tyleik Williams going to... You're not going to have a Lee McNeil. I think it's a good move to bring him in. He's not right. going to be a Lee McNeil week 1, 2, 3,
right.
4, 6, 7, 8.
There's pluses and minuses, but I think health has to play a major part of this. You're going to start the season, or at least you're planning on starting the season, healthier than you ended it last year. And so I think that this team right now, as it sets, is more prepared to be a team that is a Super Bowl caliber team. Now, the question is going to be, what effect does the play callers have? I think losing Ben Johnson, sure, there's no question that's a factor. But was this Ben Johnson's offense, or is this Dan Campbell's offense that will be led by John Morton, under the guidance of the guy who put this offense in place?
You know who I'll defer to on that? Ben Johnson, who said this offense is turnkey, that it was set up for the next guy. And I think Ben Johnson understands what is here. You've got a great O-line, and he's tried to rebuild that in Chicago because he knows how fundamental that is. You want to go for it on 4th-and-1? You better have the line to get the tough yard. Or if you're going to sell out for a play action, you better have the quarterback who can deliver. And Jared Goff, very good in those situations. You better have a Sam Laporta. They go out and try to get a tight end in Colston Loveland. The personnel is here. And Dan Campbell's still here. Can I guarantee you they're the number one offense in football? No, but I think comfortably one of the 4 or 5 best offenses is in Detroit. Defense is a little more of a question just because of some of the personnel's not as strong on that side. We're still looking to see, is Davenport starting? Who's your opposite pass rusher on third downs opposite Aiden Hutchinson?
Does Josh Pascal develop and actually take that next step?
Because we've been hearing it about Levi and didn't get a big pop.
Yeah.
Terrion Arnold, I'm optimistic because he got baptized by fire last season. He played a ton of snaps, ton of man coverage. It's still a question whether he's going to step out and make a big leap this season.
I have more confidence that this team, now they may not end up 15-2. It may be 14-3. It may be 13-4. It may be somewhere in that room. It could be 12-5.
But that's part of it then. Instead of having home field now, I got to win multiple road playoff games. Doable, but do I feel more confident? No, I'd feel less confident having to go and play multiple road games.
When I look at this roster, I think right now they're set up to be a better football team this year. And part of it is also the intangibles. I've had a chance to be around some of the guys, some of the coaches over the past couple of months. And they have, and I know you're going to use my words against me here, they have a certain edge about them.
What now?
Yes, go ahead. Yes, play your word games.
They have an edge? There's a certain edge
that they have about them, about how they're taking on this offseason, how they are... The aftermath of losing to Washington.
But I heard that last offseason.
Right. And it's,
I'm not doubting that it's there.
Which led to a 15-2 season.
And a first-round exit.
Right, a first-round exit where they played their worst game of the year.
Right.
And Jared Goff played his worst of the year. But you go back to what Jared Goff did the year before. I'm just telling you, yes, you can have an edge, but if you lose massive amounts of players... It may not matter what that edge is, it obviously didn't against Washington.
I don't dispute that they are as hungry as ever, especially after a first-round exit, but they were hungry after losing an NFC title game. That's simply not enough because they didn't show up in that big game against Washington.
I think if you go into this season with a healthy Aiden Hutchinson, Malcolm Rodriguez back on the roster, Derek Barnes back on the roster, Amik Robertson on the roster, DJ Reed instead of Carlton Davis, Kirby in the back end, Brian Branch in the back end, Terrion Arnold in year two. Defense is going to be better than it was last year. And I think this offense, like Ben has said, is turnkey. Now, sure, is there going to be bumps along the way because of a new play caller, a new, not necessarily a new system, but just a new rhythm to how they're doing things? Yeah, I think there might be some bumps, but I think it's a better offense than it was last year.
Texter says 100% less confident in the Lions. I feel like they'll take a step back this season. 9 to 10 wins. Offense regresses. Defense can't carry them. Look, schedule comes out 2 weeks from Thursday. I cannot envision a world where I'm going to come out and pick them to win 9 football games, let alone, I don't think they're going to win 10 either. 15, probably not, but somewhere in the middle.
I thought you were going to go less.
6, 7. No, guys. I was at 12 last year. I'm probably going to end up about 12 this year. I mean, we'll see who they play and when they play and when the bye is and if there's any weird oddities in the schedule.
Mm-hmm. They're going to be playing a lot of primetime games.
Yep. Get used to that. Quick thought. Mike in Bingham Farms. Give you a minute. You're on 97.1.
Good morning, Mike. Mike.
All right.
Sounds like.
Won't give him a minute. We got to be tight with time here. Brad Holmes coming up next. It's 97.1.
Grass is greening up, and that means crabgrass is there. Dandelions are there. I'll talk to you about them in a minute. But if you want the best lawn and you want the least amount of problems, you got to have Natural Way Lawn and Tree Service a call. 888-GET-GREEN is their number. You can find more info on the web at naturalwaylawn.com. If you purchase a full lawn program right now, you're going to get free grub control, but you got to mention my name along with 97.1 The Ticket. And onto the problems. Crabgrass, it's not too late to treat for it, but you've got to get on it right now. And you want to make sure you take care of those dandelions because they're going to rob your lawn of water, nutrients, and you want to make sure you take care of it before they go to seed because as soon as that happens, it spreads like wildfire all across your lawn. They're not going to give you a runaround. They're not going to tell you you got one problem this week, another problem next week. No, they just fix things. Locally owned company for over 35 years. They're also involved in local charities, so keep your money here. Keep it local. And it's a Michigan-owned company with Michigan employees and Michigan families. That number again, 888-GET-GREEN or on the web at naturalwaylawn.com. Natural Way Lawn and Tree Service. Get green, stay green with Natural Way.
.1 on a Tuesday. Chat with Brad Holmes this hour. Get his thoughts on the draft. Offseason and all the pressing questions that many of you guys have out there in listener land. Reminder later today on the station, it's General Manager Day. Steve Yzerman will be speaking. That press conference carried live at 2 o'clock. Hear from the Red Wings General Manager later in the show.
GM Day.
And we've got him. Let's talk to Brad Holmes, General Manager of the Detroit Lions. Brad, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great. Yeah. Can you ask a general manager who his favorite pick was, or is that like asking a parent who their favorite kid is?
That is probably asking a parent who their favorite kid was. I do love all of them. I'll give you this though. The pick that probably was the most questioned, I would say, was Isaac Tesla. I can say that he was my favorite wide receiver in this draft. I'm not saying he was the best wide receiver in the draft, but favorite wide receiver in the draft, yes.
So you traded up for Tate Ratledge, and you traded up, obviously, for Isaac Tesla. What, I mean, did you feel like they were not going to be available? It was only 3 picks for Tate, but it was almost an entire round for Tesla. Did you feel like they wouldn't be on the board? And that's one where you just said, we got to go get our guy.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. And, you know, when you start getting into trade-ups, it is so much more than just, hey, we like this player, we got to go get him. You know, there's a lot of, you know, we talk about needs all the time. And, you know, the teams around the league, the teams are in front of you, the teams are behind you, you know, they have needs as well. So sometimes, you know, you really want Tate Ratledge. Yeah, you could stay patient. And, you know, it's a roll of the dice. He could be there. He could not be there. But you got to be aware of the teams behind you that could come up and get him. And then you also, you're looking at the board and you're looking at how many guards are available, how many teams actually still are looking to fill that need of guard. There's still teams in front of you that are looking to fill the need of guard. So you have to take all those things into account. And then especially if you have that player graded at a certain level And that's what the case was with Tate. And that was a case with Tesla as well, is that, yes, we love the player, but when you start looking at, okay, we're at 102, and, you know, you have this player, and take away the player, like the specific player, it's just a player graded at a certain level. Maybe it's only two or three of those guys left on the entire board, and you're sitting down there at 102, and you look up, and it's like, okay, we love this player, but also there's probably about eight teams that still are looking for a wide receiver. And so you got to take all those things into account. But obviously it all starts with, you got to have conviction of the player. But when you think about, you know, past drafts and you look into, oh, well, that's a third round pick. You guys have heard this before. Not all drafts are the same. And what I mean by that, yeah, not all drafts are the same, but also when you look at the past, let's say past two or three drafts, even including this one, it has not been the same depth, the depth of talent. So this year, last year, before, you don't find an Aleem McNeil in the third round. You don't find Amon-Ra St. Brown in the fourth round. Like, those guys just aren't there as of recent. So we're sitting there at 102. Okay. If we stay here, we're going to be dealing with a different level of player based on our board, not on the 31 other boards, but based on our board. And so you take all that into account.
You mentioned you like the player. You're not a need guy. We know that. But you can kind of create the perfect marriage when you trade up to get a specific guy. We understand that you tried to trade up for an edge player. Can you share what goes into that process and maybe how difficult it's been to get an edge that you guys like? Not just any old edge, but a player that you guys specifically covet.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I think I've said before, yeah, you can draft an edge rusher in every single round. That's easy. But the one that fits what we're looking for and hits those criteria, the pool is a lot smaller than what you would think. And so so it just has to line up. And again, if we have a player that's just rated higher, and it happens to line up, right? Like, I'll go back to the corner thing. You know, we went a few years without drafting an outside corner, and then we get Terrion Arnold and it's Rakestraw. And, well, it just lined up that we really love those players, and it happened to fit a position that we're a little thin at. The same way with the defensive tackle with Tyleek. Tyleek, we just had him rated higher than some other players at that, you know, let's call it defensive end position. But we're trying to build a football team. And when you're trying to build a football team, you're trying to get the best player. But it just happened to match up well with we were a little bit thin, you know, at the interior defensive line position as well.
How close were you to pulling the trigger on that trade for the edge to go up? And, I mean, what goes into how far you want to go up and the cost that you're willing to spend to go up and get that position?
It just depends. It just depends on where you're at. Because, you know, when I look at, you know, when you're starting to part ways with future assets specifically, you know, you have to look at it and see, okay, are you at peace with this? Are you at peace with not having that because we're going to get this specific player? But, you know, let's say we made on day two, we made two trade ups. Guys, those were two that were done out of about 30 attempts. You know, that just happened to be the two that we were able to do, but it's so many other different attempts, and it's just hard. And it's hard to sometimes find a partner because teams just don't want to go that far down. Because just like what I was talking about earlier, the further you go down, then the talent pool and the depth on that specific team's board is going to drop as well. So you have to have peace with that. But I mean, I've looked at, you know, I've thought of trading a future too, you know, for, you know, if it's the right player, you know, and if it fits, I mean, but you just have to be at peace with it.
I know you've been asked a ton about edge. Do you understand why people inundate you with the questions? Like, do you think it's a fair?
I don't understand it.
So, I mean, because you've said that the injuries are why you assume you're getting the questions. I think even before Aiden got hurt, people wanted to know about a running mate opposite Aiden just because of the lack of production on the opposite edge. So you don't see that the way that on the outside we see that.
Well, I'm curious, like, you know, let's look at you brought up Aiden Hutchinson. Would you say Aiden Hutchinson is an elite edge rusher?
Yeah.
Okay. How many elite edge rushers are in the NFL?
I'd say 5 or 6.
Okay. I think that that's fair. And obviously there's 32 teams in the NFL, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually 2 edge rushers on the field at the same time, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're in, barring injury or anything, now you're talking about 64 players, right? We have one of the 5 or 6, right? Why? How come all of the 5 or 6, how come it's not just 1 or 2 when you look at the whole team? Like, how come one team doesn't have 2 elite ones?
I don't know that the ask is
another team that doesn't have 2 elite ones. Well, we talked about it. It's they're hard to find. They're hard to get. They're hard to acquire. But I have felt like ever since we have acquired Aiden Hutchinson, as great of a player he is, I always felt like the fan base is almost mad. Like, they're mad because we have Aiden Hutchinson. Because now he's so good. Well, why don't you have 2 of them? And so now it goes in that, but I have been curious.
It's never enough, right? Yeah, that's kind of how it feels.
I've been curious, the teams that have those elite 5 or 6 edge rushers in other media markets, I have been curious, okay, we have an elite edge rusher. All we're going to ask is about edge rusher. You know what I mean? Like, and we all know who those players are. When you go to those cities and those media markets and they have an elite edge rusher, all you do is get questions about edge rusher. But you have an elite one. But all you're asking about is, well, how come you don't have another one?
Yeah, I don't know if the ask is...
And then now you get into are you trying to build a football team or are you trying to just pair in? Yes, like I've said all the time, we would love to have 3 or 4 of them. But that's not reality all the time.
Yeah, I would just point out, I don't think people, I mean, we'd all love to have 2 elite edges. I think people just want more production than, say, you've gotten from the position in 23 and 24. From a sack standpoint, from the second end position, and if that's an area that, yeah, maybe you can't get one of the elite guys, but is there more that could be done? You've said you've tried to trade it up, so I do wonder if some of that is, you do understand where people are coming from on that level.
Well, yeah, if you bring in 24, I mean, at one point we had 5 injured defensive ends. So that was a little bit of an anomaly, of course. Like, when you have we got up to 5 that were injured. And then, well, yeah, we have to find someone to finish out the season. Mm-hmm. We made the trade for Za'Darius, but and then, you know, obviously we just have been steadily improving the roster year by year. But so I do understand the attrition and the depth component of it. But again, it has to all line up as well. So it's not just, again, you can draft an edge rusher. That's easy. We can do that every single round. We can draft one. Now, does he fit? Does he fit the requirements that we're looking for in a player? Then now that's a whole different story. Because if you draft that edge rusher that's not contributing to the level that we would all like, then what's next? Oh, find another edge rusher, right?
Right.
Find another edge rusher because that one wasn't good enough. Well, we drafted one, right? I thought that's all we needed to. I thought all we needed to do was draft one, right?
Draft a good one, Brad.
That player's
that's
not
what people
performing,
are saying.
Then now, or if the player's not starting, if he's a backup, if he, you know yeah. what I mean. So you got to look into all of those things. So I mean, I understand. Yes, you want more production. If you count 2024, where we had just a litany of injuries at that one position among other spots, I can understand that with the recency bias, but we do have we have an elite one, and that's the only one that I kind of don't understand is we have an elite one, but all we get asked is edge rusher.
Well, let's talk about that elite one and Aiden Hutchinson, which I don't think anybody's mad, actually, that we do have. We love him, and we want him to be here a long time. What's the sense of urgency? Do you think a deal will be done before the season takes off this year?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have a plan in place, and, you know, I always say that we keep that in-house because I don't think it's fair to the player or the agent to speak contractually publicly.
I did want to get your thoughts on the Shedeur Sanders stuff. Not that we anticipated that he would be on your board, but it's a huge media talking point. How did you see it as a talent evaluator, him, this perceived fall? It may not be as dramatic as an NFL evaluator would think, but what did you make of it?
Yeah, I think that's just it, is, you know, people, if I want to say, like, people have to have read the entire book, I guess, per se. And everybody has their different rankings, and especially when you get into that position. And I just believe that, you know, the teams that were in that market did not have him ranked as high as the outside world thought. And when you talk about just the outside world's rankings, they don't know, unless you got it from the GM or the head coach, which nobody would ever get, then you just don't know. So, and I just think that once you get past the second round or third round, then sometimes kind of the music kind of stops in terms of, you know, filling those starter level or future starter roles. And then you start looking into, you know, okay, well, all right, now you're in kind of the backup territory after a certain point. And then, okay, so when are you going to pick your, you know, favorite backup? So I just think that all plays on part of it. I remember back in 2020, I think 2022, I believe, that there was a clump of quarterbacks. A lot of them went in the third round. And I remember a lot of people had us linked to taking one in the first round. And I remember that, you know, we traded up for Jameson Williams, and my phone starts just blowing up about, is this the quarterback? Is this the quarterback? Is this the quarterback? And I'm like, no, it's Jameson Williams. Like, that's who it's for. And so then afterwards I was asked, okay, are you surprised that these quarterbacks slid? And I was like, well, I don't know about slid. They were taken, I think, that specific year in 22. We had them all in the third round. And so they went in the third round, and that was it. And so I just think that, man, a lot more respect has to be given for that evaluation process. It's almost like if you were a member of a book club, right, and, you know, you meet about the book, and say you've only read a chapter. Say you've only read a chapter of the book, and would you, and everybody else has read the entire book, would you go into that meeting for that book and be as convicted as, oh, this is not a good book, this is a bad book? You ain't even read the damn book. And I don't know what the first chapter of the book is. Is the first chapter the mock drafts? Is it the stats? Is it the highlights? Is it the but what I do know is that, man, what you haven't read is you hadn't pressed play and watched every single snap from the past 2 years of that player. You haven't gathered all the background. You haven't gathered all the, you know, mental makeup. You haven't gathered all the injury information. You haven't. You're not looking at a book. You know what I mean? So all that stuff, that's the whole book. That's the whole book. And I'm not, I say that very respectfully, because right, I don't expect people on the outside to be even in a position to read that whole book. But it is interesting that if you were in that book club and you've only read just a chapter of it, you probably would be like, I don't know about the book because I haven't read it all. So when you talk about, like, slide, sometimes it's not a slide. Sometimes a player was taken where he was probably taken. It's just that information wasn't available to the outside.
Brad, we appreciate the perspective as always. Thanks for making some time with us this morning.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on. Yep.
All right, Lions General Manager Brad Holmes, 97.1. All right, guys. You hate going to the dentist. It doesn't have to be that way. Not with Brightside Dental. I've been telling you about them. There's no judgment. Even if it's been a while, even if you're feeling nervous about certain teeth back there, if you haven't been, it's okay. Life gets in the way. You got married, had a kid, you started a new job, whatever. Brightside Dental, $35 new patient special. It covers exams and x-rays. 9 Metro Detroit locations means there's one right around the corner from you. Make an appointment. Get back in that routine free of judgment. 1-800-PAINLESS. BrightsideDental.com. That's Brightside Dental. No judgment, just care. That was Brad Holmes. We were itching to talk to him and pick his brain and learn a little more. And John, we'll open up the lines. We'll read some ticket texts, but I've got some thoughts. I know you do too.
Yeah, go for it.
So he said they had like 30 attempts to trade up. And we know they were targeting a bunch of players. Some were edge.
Mm-hmm.
If he's looking at that position with any degree of interest, he should understand why people ask the question, right?
Yeah, I think he understands why people ask the question.
Well, he said he kind of doesn't.
Well, because it's hard for us to put ourselves in his actual shoes.
Right. But
have all the information that he's dealing with, because he's going to evaluate players different than we do.
I brought up the last 2 years getting Aiden help. He focused last year with the injuries. We all know the story last year, injuries. He mentioned we're going 4 or 5 deep. 2023, Aiden had 11.5 sacks. Do you know who was number 2 on the team in sacks?
No.
Aleem McNeil with 5. Do you know the next edge rusher that registered sacks on this team? It was Kaminsky with 2. So from edge positions in a fully healthy 2023 division championship team, I got Aiden with 11. I got John Kaminsky with 2. Brad, that's why the question's being asked.
Yes, the production is what we're all after. He's also managing all these extensions. And I wish we had more time, because I would have liked to have known. He's never going to share the actual equation of we think the cap is going up this month. This is why we give Kirby Joseph this amount of money. We're working on this with Aiden Hutchinson. But what does it look like in 26? What does it look like in 27? How do you continue to add players to this? And I understand not adding an elite edge.
Sure, I get that point. I do. I do concede that there's only, right, as you put it, 5 out there, and getting 2 is highly unlikely.
But I would also say that you can add quality talent,
yes,
in the draft. But it also goes to what he was talking about with the evaluation process is, if you're going to try and trade up to get one of, and I don't know how would he classify this class of edge rushers?
Right.
Like we already talked about, there's only 5 or 6 in the NFL right now out of 64. And now in this draft, are you looking at, is there 2 or 3 that you think are real quality edge rushers?
I think
to trade up for those guys, are you going to have to go to 15, 16? Are you going to have to go to 10?
I think another part of this too, the team is pretty damn well built.
Yeah.
Where there aren't 6 or 7 things for us to kind of banty about. I mean, how many weaknesses does this football team even have? There aren't many. Do you have any questions about the offensive line right now? I don't. You're not upgrading the quarterback position. We're very comfortable with Jared Goff. The receiver room, off a 1,000-yard season from J-Mo, plus the all-pros that St. Brown is stacking, plus LaPorta, two-headed monster in the back. There's no questions about the offensive personnel. The only thing we had last year was wide receiver 3, right? That was us looking for something. Hey, where can you get better? Because you're always trying to get better to win a Super
Edge
Bowl.
Edge was a part of the discussion last year as well.
So it's been a multi-year discussion, because it is one of the few, and I stress few because he's done a good job, one of the few areas of this football team that we do fixate on because it still is a need.
So you're not asking, obviously, for another elite, and nobody is.
I would love one, but I don't think it's a demand.
Look, if you could trade for one of those guys.
Of course.
It's just unrealistic in today's NFL. I mean, we've never seen anything like that.
No.
Right, but if you go and re-sign Zadarius, now you've got a guy last year, instead of Kaminsky with 2, you've got a guy coming back that had 9 last year.
Yeah, it could get you 8 to 10.
Exactly. And I think your point to defend you is this just comes down to 2 players.
Yeah.
It comes down to Pascal and Davenport. You don't think they're good enough to get the job done.
Well, and Brad's paying Davenport, you know, lemonade stand money. I think there's an admission there that he isn't a proven player either.
And so I do think John just brought up the keys to this whole thing. You bring back Smith, and if that happens, then all this was a kind of a lot of hot air.
Sure.
To be, but we're living in the moment. We're doing the show today. We're not doing the show on May 15th if this happens.
Oh, we've talked about it all along. It makes sense to get Za'Darius back in here.
But my thing is, with a guy like Pascal, I just think it would have happened by now. And Davenport can't stay healthy. So I think we know the verdict.
Right.
And I think that's where I would defend Jim and just saying, okay, you might be obsessed about it. Yeah. But it should be a higher level caliber player there.
Yeah, that's all I was saying, too. I tried to jump in with, we all want an elite player, but no one's saying go get an elite edge rusher. It's get an upgrade at that position because the production for multiple seasons, not just last year with injury, for multiple seasons, we have not seen the production opposite Aiden Hutchinson.
And because the level of talent that's currently there is untrustable.
Yes.
If Aiden goes down, then you start going back to last year because you don't have McNeil until Thanksgiving, most likely.
Yep. And again, it's hard to forecast injuries.
You see the vulnerableness of it.
Yeah.
Versus the guy can't have a 53-man roster of elite players, you know?
So I just go back to it. Like, he doesn't – the questions about Edge are perplexing to him. He has said that before. He confirmed it to us. The only obvious takeaway is he is very comfortable with their pass rush for the upcoming season. If he's wrong, it's the thing that's going to keep them from winning a Super Bowl.
It could be one of the things that lead him – keep him from being
last year it was injuries. Is it the biggest glaring issue on this football team to you? Now, I'm a layman. I didn't play the game. Is their biggest football need from a football perspective, from the football guy, pass rush?
I think it is their weakest starting position.
So that's why we ask the questions.
Right. But it doesn't mean that they can actually go out and add to that position. Now, Za'Darius is out there, but as we went through the whole math with Brad, there are other teams, which I'm actually kind of surprised that Za'Darius hasn't landed in another spot. And I don't know
if he might want to come back here.
I think he might want to as well, which plays a part in it. Is he just going to wait it out, wait and see? And maybe they said, hey, let's wait and see what happens in the draft. We have to do that as a franchise. We've got to wait and see who is available when we're picking or within striking range of us being able to go up and get. Because we'd rather have a, you know, quote unquote young version of Za'Darius Smith making much less than a 10-year vet coming in who just had 9 sacks last year.
And the offset. If I'm about to hand Aiden a Brinks truck full of cash, it'd be nice to have a cross-controlled rookie on a 4-year deal. The attempts are made, you don't get your guy, the questions are going to come. Ticket Texter points it out well. A good pass rush is going to flirt with 50 sacks. If Aiden gets 20, where are the others coming from this front?
Right. And so, yeah, some of them are going to come from blitzing.
Yes.
You're going to get some from the linebackers.
Linebacker,
you're
going to
be,
nickel
and dime them here. And I'm not talking about the defenses. I'm just talking about, hey, you get one or two here, one or two there.
Two from Levi, two from Pascal. Yeah. But to get to
50, you got to make up the difference. Yeah.
Anyway, we got open lines, 248-539-9797. Get some of your thoughts. Ticket text as well. It's 97.1.
Hey, we all know what it means when we get into our clothes in the morning and they don't fit right. It means we've put on a couple of LBs. And if you don't like the way your clothes fit this morning, you don't like being in pictures, do something about it now. Contact Ideal You because you could be 40 pounds lighter in 40 days with Ideal You. I know the program works because I lost 50 in those 40 days with Ideal You. And here's the other thing. I've been able to keep it off now for over 3 years. So it's not just one that works in those 40 days, but it is a program that you can stick with because it's real whole foods. It's not potions. It's not pills. It's just something that you can stick with. It's a lifestyle. Book today, and Ideal You is going to give you a free body composition analysis. It's $150 value, absolutely free. Book your free consultation right now at idealyou.us. Ideal You is different than other weight loss companies because it works, and it works fast. Lose up to 40 pounds in 40 days and be happy taking those pictures again and getting into those clothes in the morning. Book your free consultation right now at idealyou.us to get your body composition analysis. $150 value, absolutely free.
Let's get some phone calls in before Carson Anderson. I know they got a busy show. We got a busy week this week. Pistons with an elimination game tonight. Tigers looking to bounce back against the Astros. You have Steve Yzerman press conference today, 2:00 on the station. And we had Brad Holmes this hour, and that's what Jimmy in Ferndale wants to talk about. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling.
Hey, you know, one thing, and I haven't heard much of this talk, and I just wanted to see, you know, John, especially your opinion on this, is I just feel like Derek Barnes is going to be a big part of that edge issue this year. I mean, the Lions run nickel probably 70-75% of the time, and I just can't imagine they paid him $24 million just to be Anzalone and Campbell's backup. And last year, before he got injured, he had about 3.5 sacks, and he was playing plays on the edge. And I just feel like that's going to be part of the plan. And, of course, and I appreciate this about Brad, he's not going to say that out loud now. He'll let teams figure it out when we get to it. You know what I mean? But I think that's part of the big issue as well. I could be wrong. I can't wait to see. But I think he's just going to – I just can't imagine paying him that amount of money, like I said, just to be a backup.
Right. Guys that you're not going to see used as pass rushers unless they're blitzing from depth is Alex Anzalone and Malcolm Rodriguez. Guys that you will see – Jack Campbell and Derek Barnes, which, you know, when you have, you're not going to pay Derek Barnes to be that much money to be a backup to those guys. So you will see him on the edge. We did see it a little bit last year. Jack Campbell, I think they, expand his responsibilities and duties as he continues to improve. And we see more of his athleticism. But, you know, so I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. What you thought about that? You know, if you thought that that's going to be a possibility, and that's again why maybe that Brad's not talking much about this because he doesn't want to, you know, slip our hand, you know, or show our.
Well,
hand.
I think teams will see it on film. I don't think it'll be a secret. I mean, Campbell has played some hand in the dirt situational pass
or
rushing
stand
snaps.
Up rusher on the edge. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think if Brad had come out and said. Yeah, I don't think we need an edge because in addition to having Aiden healthy, I think we can do it through sub packages. We've got run stuffers on early downs and we've got linebackers who we think can bump down on obvious passing situations. He can say whatever he wants. That could be part of their explanation.
Right. And this doesn't address the edge issue, but when you talk about sacks, pressures, all those different things, the Detroit Lions are one of the teams that blitz the most. And I don't think that changes just because the defensive coordinators have changed. You're also going to see Ennis Rakestraw, part of his value going into last year's draft was that he was a willing tackler in the run game, but also a guy that they could use off of the edge as a corner or nickel blitz. Same thing with DJ Reed. He's a willing tackler and a guy that is not going to shy away from getting after the quarterback or supporting in the run.